And now, for your listening pleasure, Pox and Pox Talk, a podcast of diversity, starring Dorothy and Larry Parks.
Hello, my peeps out there. It's Parks and Parks Talks, a podcast of diversity. Today is February the 19th, 2011, episode 12. I'm Larry, and this is Dorothy on the right side of me, which she's not seeing him right now.
Hello.
Yes, now, today is, I guess, not really a too serious podcast. I've just been doing a pondering thoughts on our minds type podcast tonight. Dorothy, who is the most overrated celebrity that you can think of right now?
Oh.
I know, it's just something I've been thinking about. You know, it's not going to be too much. You know,
is that Justin Bieber?
Yeah, Justin Bieber. Yes, yeah, Justin Bieber, this young cat, Justin Bieber.
Who is he?
I don't know too much about him. I just know he got, you know, he was what? I guess.
I don't know.
Discovered by Usher. As far as we know of, right?
On YouTube or something?
Yeah. You know, and he's a talented guy. I've seen a little bit of his videos. And
I don't know. Maybe we should go see the movie.
No, I don't want to see the movie now. No, I don't want to see the movie. Actually, last weekend we went to the movies and we just seen a long line of kids, you know, trying to see Justin Bieber. One of the
they was going to see him in a live concert.
I know. That was so crazy. I had never seen that, you know, from a young kid that's not too established. And I think sometimes when they kind of like bring these kids out, you know, being young celebrities the way they are, it kind of can mess them up, you know, mentally and life-wise. Mm-hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah. Socially too?
Yeah, socially, yeah. They that's all they know. They just don't really know how to bond with, you know, really, because that's all they
regular
know.
Regular people.
Exactly. Regular people, yeah. Everything they have known has been dictated either by the agent or by the music company and stuff, and that's kind of sad. And to effect, do you think old Hollywood did a lot of actors and actresses that way back in the day?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You do? Okay.
They Excuse me, everyone.
Yeah, she's eating something.
I'm just in the middle of eating ice cream.
Yeah.
And Larry just suddenly turned his thing on here, so.
Yeah, I really did.
He caught me in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, yeah, old Hollywood was like that. Old Hollywood had more control of their stars' lives.
Okay.
Like how they dress, how they look, who they date, mm-hmm. where they live.
Yeah.
How they live.
Do you know of any actresses that you can name offhand that really affected them? You know, like in the old Hollywood days?
What do you mean, really affected them?
I guess, like, really, like, I don't know, drove them to, like, they didn't know what to do after they stardom kind of went down in light. You know what I'm saying? In the limelight all the time, kind of, like, just faded. Do you know that it affected their career-wise? You know, anything that affected their life?
Oh, their private life?
Yeah, their private life.
I can't think of anyone offhand. You mean okay. Like after the stardom had left?
Yeah, after the movie start rolling in, anything like that, you know.
Well, I know there was a lot of the old Hollywood actresses and actors had it pretty hard when the silent actors. You know,
okay.
Silent movie actors.
Yeah.
I believe they had it kind of rough once sound came.
Okay.
Because their voices probably wasn't quite right to be used, you know, doing the sound pictures. And being that it was their silent days, you know, time doing those silent movies.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't care about the voices because it was always, you know, reading. You always read.
Oh,
so,
okay.
I don't know, Malin Dietrich or something?
Yeah.
I don't know if I got the name right, but a lot of those actresses during those times when sound pictures came in, they did have a hard time to cross over from silent movies to sound movies. Some made it and some didn't.
Yeah.
So.
Exactly.
That affect them in that way.
Okay. So, in a way, did the studios have a lot of control over the creative, like anything they did, the studios kind of like dictate what they did?
Outside of the studio?
Yeah.
Larry, they did. Mm. And I think that it was good in some ways and it was bad in other ways. For what it was good in, it's like because they were looking at it more like they had fans out there.
Okay.
And it was a certain type of image.
Mm-hmm.
That they should have knowing that there are fans out there admiring them, looking at them as mentors, or, you know, some of them want to be like them, and they should set some type of standards, you know, the way of living. And also, they want to keep the box office, you know, you pay money coming in, right, too. Okay. They don't want you to see if it, wow, you're not like you was on pictures. Because, you know, it was a lot of feel like that life imitated art. That you look beautiful and you look glamorous on the screen. You live like that way, too. If you come out to be this nice, beautiful, ladylike type of person on the screen, used that way off the screen in a lot of ways and cases. It wasn't. They had to realize that's just a character that they're betraying. That wasn't really them. It's just like now people got to understand, you know, they're betraying a character.
Okay.
But there are people human too. They smoke. They do drugs. They have sex.
Yeah.
They're gay. They're bisexual. You know, this is like any other average person now. However, back then in Hollywood days, all of that was kept secret.
Yeah.
You had a lot of these studios like MGM, you know, Mr. Mayor of MGM, he was get reporters from these tabloids back then, and he would privately pay them to, you know, keep the story from being being published if they found that one of the actors or stars was, you know, gay or bisexual or into some other kind of, you know, off scene, you know, kind of activities. You know, so drugs or partying or something like that.
I gotcha. So that was actually, so they was trying to protect their studio as well because the actress or the actors were representing them, putting their name, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it was representing them. And, you know, but I wouldn't say it was doing that with every star.
Yeah, just the big time.
But the big name that was making them, you know, money.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they was doing that. You know, they look at that. They did it with Rock Hudson. You know, for years, everyone that worked around Rock Hudson know that, you know, he liked men and he dated men.
Exactly.
You know, they know it, but they kept that in. And they was kind of, it was kind of like strict on who you marry too.
Oh,
you know, so yeah, they kind of involved that. Look at, for instance, Judy Garland. You know how they controlled her over there at MGM. How Mr. Mayor controlled her life. You know, who she could marry and who she couldn't marry. You know, or I don't know. I guess the influence the man would have on him, or how would her fans perceive her dating someone older or, you know, or, you know, they just want to have more say-so, you know, over their lives, more control, you know, and you have that, and then you have those young stars like that, you know, had those mothers that, I guess, want to relive their lives through their kids.
Yes, yeah.
And they was hard on them as well, along with the, you know, the studio people, and it was pretty difficult. I think it was much harder back then than it is now. However, like I said, there's advantage to it and there's a disadvantage, because I think now Hollywood has gone too wild. You know, like I said, girls gone wild. Hollywood has gone wild.
Yeah, and also I guess you can also say the music business. I guess, you know, like such people that kind of like was affected by, I guess, their success or whatever they done. I guess you could say Billie Holiday was, you know, just by her being a singer, whatever, kind of, you know what I'm saying?
Jazz
singer and stuff. And it kind of just, you know, how the stuff kind of just being like on drugs and stuff, kind of, you know what I'm saying? I guess linked to that, you know, her being, you know what I'm saying, doing her music thing. You know, I don't know too much about her compared to, per se, like you do.
So what are you saying exactly?
I'm just saying, like, having so much success, maybe that's not the best thing to have. You know what I'm saying? That sometimes.
Well, I wouldn't say Billie Holiday had so much success.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I mean, she had some.
Okay.
She had mediocre success. Yes. She had mild success, but I wouldn't say she was like over successful.
Okay.
You know, there's a lot of milestones that she didn't cross.
Okay.
And there are some that she did.
Okay. Gotcha.
You know, so, I mean, and I wouldn't say it was because of what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that was just based on the color of her skin.
Color of her skin,
you know, that was just doing her time. She just, you know, became a jazz singer and a, and a somewhat star at the wrong time.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so it was racism that held her back.
Okay, okay.
And it probably was racism that continued her to use drugs, not being able to cross over or, you know, be performing at places that she wanted to perform in.
Okay.
And be notarized as a better singer than you know, she was notarized as.
Okay.
Putting the white female singers above her that probably wasn't sounding as good or talent as she had. Putting them more out there on the mainstream than she was.
Yeah.
So I think that would have a lot to do with racism in her case.
Okay. Well, okay, then, I guess you could say that. What about with managers dealing with, you know, I guess singers, I guess you can also link. Now, this is a famous, you know, musician, I guess you can say Elvis. You know, saying his manager kind of dictated everything he did.
What's his name, Colonel Parker?
Yeah, Colonel Parker. Yeah, and that kind of messed him up. He wanted to do more serious roles and movies and stuff, and he just put him
in
lame movies.
In that case, that was his downfall. That was something that kept him back from being, I mean, even though he was successful, but being more successful in theater, in movies.
Exactly.
You know, he was, you know, because I'm like, yeah, people did go see his movies, but they wasn't going to see his movie because of what type of movie he played in or that he was a good actor.
Yeah.
Hey, come on, he was Elvis.
Yeah, he was Elvis.
They know that they're going to hear their favorite song that he sings in that movie. That movie can be about him, I don't know, singing to a rag doll, and they would make over millions just to see him sing a song, one of those songs, I don't know, you know, to a doll or something.
Yeah.
Hey, it's Elvis, he's singing one of our songs. But Elvis wasn't really about that. He really wanted to be a serious, you know, actor and play in some really high quality movies.
Yeah.
With better storylines, you know, but yeah, you're right. Colonel Parker, his manager, didn't have that vision for him. He just feel like, you know, if we're selling this and if they like that song on the records, let's put those songs on this movie and make it just about, I don't know, a bunch of girls and you being silly and that's what they're like. And I don't know, was he afraid that if he got too serious that he would pull away from the young girls' audiences? I don't know, the younger audience or, you know, the type of fad and trend that was going on in that day and time. I don't know, but I just think that, personally speaking, I think that Elvis gave him and allowed him too much control.
I think
that Elvis had gotten so big at one point that he really could have let Colonel Parker go.
Could have, kind of. Yeah, he should have.
He should have, you know. And I don't know, he felt like he owed him for helping him become so successful. But even Elvis' mother didn't like or had ill feelings about Colonel Parker, too. She kind of figured that, and, you know, rest both of their souls, that he wasn't quite, Colonel Parker wasn't, you know, quite the manager or a friend that would have Elvis in his best interest, you know.
You think Colonel Parker was scared of him, think if Elvis got too successful that he would not need him no more as a manager?
Well, of course. Of course. It's just like, you know, excuse me from bringing this up, it's just like, you know, back in the day as a slave owner, didn't want a slave to get too educated, feel like he wouldn't need him, and he'd rise up.
Exactly.
You know, rise up and do things himself.
Exactly.
So, you know, you try to keep him, you know, the tight chain on and try to keep them to a point that you still have that control, because too much of anything, you know, can make a person feel like I don't need you or I'm better or I got enough sense of knowledge and money and I can do it on my own. You know, too much of anything can be either good for you and bad for others or vice versa.
Yeah, you're right. So, no, I know we had touched on basically earlier, though, how studios kind of went get involved, you know, with the actors, like, you know, like, I guess, mishaps, anything that went wrong, and they try to cover it up. Do you feel like going to, you know, most real famous person, Bruce Lee, you know what I'm saying, with his situation, his death, you know what I'm saying, it been a little, you know, less, you know, just little.
Do you think it was some type of conspiracy?
Conspiracy, you know, went on with that, you know, that they had to find out that, guess what, they didn't call the police, was not notified first. is actually was.
So you asking, do you think that studios really get too involved? So you're saying that it's still, they do get so involved in your life, they even do a lot of cover ups and death?
Yeah.
Well, you may want to say the same thing with Marilyn Monroe.
Okay.
You know,
I think that's more of a government thing, though. I think that was more like the guy to deal with some of the mob and the president. You know what I'm saying? The guy to deal with more of the situation, you know, with that fair she had going on. And
so
she probably knew
too
much information.
So you think that, that the government had a lot to do with that? Had anything to do with any studios? Had nothing
no,
to do
I don't think it had to do
with
anything with, no.
Okay.
There was Marilyn, she probably did a lot of, you know, was involved in a lot of pillow talking going around, you know what I'm saying, with both brothers, you know what I'm saying? They probably heard more than she's supposed to have heard.
So what are you actually seeing? And I mean, hey, this is government talk.
Yeah,
so.
I know, right?
This
you know,
is government talk,
exactly.
So what are you
this
seeing?
This is more my department here.
So are you seeing, what are you seeing? Are you seeing that you felt that Marilyn Monroe was murdered?
I do feel like she was murdered. I think she,
So you really do?
Yeah.
You feel like that she was murdered, and you think that government had something to do with it?
Yeah. Either was the government or was the mob.
The government or the mob had something to do with it, because you think that being that she had relationships, relations, as some would say, with both presidents at the time, and that's the Kennedys.
Yeah.
That there was a lot of pillow talk there.
Yeah, it was a lot of pillow
talk. A lot of information leaked out.
Exactly.
You know, voluntarily.
Yeah. Well, involuntarily. She probably heard some conversations involuntarily.
Oh, involuntarily.
Exactly.
And they was afraid that she would use that against them to make it, you know, public.
Exactly. Like a scorned woman, she probably had love for one of them. And then she probably know what I'm saying. They probably, you know.
I think she had more love for Bobby.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Bobby Kennedy.
Yeah. But you know what? Then they probably could say, well, now she going to go off. You know what I'm saying? You know a woman scorned or whatever. She gonna
so would you say
off.
That those guys really used her?
They probably did. She was a beautiful woman. You know, and it just
happens
sometimes. Someone looking for love, but they took advantage of that. And they probably just, you know, that's Marilyn Monroe at the time. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of like, I guess you could say a Halle Berry of that era or a Beyonce of that era.
You know, that's always been a touching story to me. Her whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Her life has been such a touching story to me all these years. Billie Holiday story. Dorothy Dandruff
story. Yeah.
Those three women,
Josephine Baker? Isn't that one too deep?
Josephine Baker.
Yeah.
Well, I never really researched or really, you know.
Well, she didn't deal with a lot of prejudice going on at that time. You know, racism, I guess you could say. At the era.
Well,
her
and Billy did that. But
yeah.
I'm just saying, I really never did too much reading or don't have too much knowledge, as you would say, about Josephine Baker. But I'm just saying, these three women personally touch me for some reason. I feel linked to them in some type of way, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like these women that, you know, you got one that, you know, wanted love, or two looking for love, want to be successful in her life and their lives, and, you know, just dealing with the wrong people at the wrong time, being dealt wrong, lied to, abused, you know, and beauty, women of beauty.
Yeah.
And it's just something about those women that just links to me, you know, deeply. So, you know, it touched me a lot, those women.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a sad situation, you know. It's what it is. It's sad, though. I guess, like, on Marilyn's situation.
But you was talking about something about Bruce. What did you say about Bruce Lee?
I know you still more of, you're just more of the person when it comes to things, you know, when it comes to celebrities than I am. But I just,
really.
Well, you know a little bit more than I do. I don't really research, I don't really read too much about celebrity, you know, lives or too much.
Yeah.
You know, concerning, but I know that, I just heard, you know what I'm saying? I read a little, you know, a little bit on the internet, you know, but it's been a while, so I don't know if my facts going to be accurate, but I just know that I think Raymond Chow, I think was his, that Bruce was, you know, was on the company for Golden Harvest, I think, when he had, you know, he was at this, actress house or something like that, or a friend's house, and she contacted, as far as I know of, contacted Raymond Chow, you know what I'm saying, before they contacted, you know what I'm saying, the authorities.
Wow.
And I just think that that's kind of, you know, just,
that's
a little
that?
Suspect. Mm-hmm. Yeah, why would you do that? I think, you know, this is like me working from at a grocery store, and you contact the grocery store that I'm working for before you contact the police. You see what I'm saying?
That don't make any sense.
Why would you contact your employer that you work with, the person's employer, before you contact, you know, employee, well, you know, the employer, before you contact the authorities? You understand
so
what
you're saying that,
Even the ambulance. You could have got an ambulance.
The ambulance or the authorities should have been notified
before. Exactly.
Oh, well, yeah. I don't want to touch that. I don't know what went on with that. But, you know, that's another sad, tragic, you know, tragic story.
Yeah.
And who knows? That will always be out there, you know, that question, but that
ponders the question. I guess you can kind of tie podcasts, though, is fame better? You know, being a famous person, that better, though.
So you think that people, like those people that died at an early age or tragic,
is fame a curse?
It's fame a curse, or if they wasn't famous, you're saying that they possibly would have lived longer or been more happier?
Possibly. You can say that. You could possibly say that, though, because you just look at Gary Coleman with his situation of him being a child actor. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a child actor and then going through so much of drug problems, and then the whole cast from that went through so many drug issues and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Even with Britney Spears or her fame
or
something, you know what I'm saying? Just her going through her little deal that she went through, you know. You know what I'm saying? Lizzie Lohan
her
stuff.
You're right. But I wouldn't say that the fame itself causes that.
Okay.
I think that by those people that not keeping a certain amount of control.
Okay.
You know, control in their lives and what they do.
Yeah.
May be causing the problem. It's like just because you have the money to go out there and get and do and to have, or you have a kid that's bringing all that money home from being a singer or actor, I think they just let, you know, it just overtakes them instead of them overtaking it with, you know, some type of control and not letting it, you know,
consume them
and overwhelm them with the fact that money is coming in like left and right, you know, seeing all those zeros on the checks, and they're just getting crazy. It's just like you say, like when anyone, like when you smoke cigarettes or use drugs or drink alcohol, you don't let it control you. You try to control it. And I think that's what a lot of people, these people doing out here in Hollywood, they're letting too much of the fame control them.
You're right.
And I wouldn't say it's the fame blame. It's those people are the blame for not taking control of their lives.
You're right.
They're letting their spending habits take control of their lives. They're letting their drug take control. Oh, I can go out here and put like $500, $600, $1,000 on some cocaine. Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Just because you can do it and just because it feels good doesn't mean that just go and keep doing it. Control it.
Yeah.
Control it. If you're going to, now, hey, I'm not you. You do you. You know, that's you. Control it.
Yeah, you're right, Ben.
Control it. But, like, look, I done did this last night. I done did like $300-some last night, you know, on some powder, some coke, you know. And right now, today or tomorrow or, you know, the rest of this month, whatever, I don't want to ride the white horse.
Yeah.
Control it.
Yeah, control it. You're right.
You know,
it's all about
control. I partied so much last week. I don't want to be partying too much.
But you know what? Sometimes, though, when you're being a child actor or a child celebrity or singer or whatever.
Well, that's a different case
because sometimes, child actor. Yeah, because
you're looking at the parents then. You know, like you were mentioning something about Gary Coleman. That's one of those cases when his parents got the child making all that money.
And then the kid from Lost Boys. What's his name? Corey Feldman. All y'all know who exactly I'm talking about. You know,
Corey Feldman,
yeah, licensed to drive boy, and you know what I'm saying, and you know, yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Or that Corey Hines, Corey?
But both of them both had drug addictions.
Yeah, didn't one of them actually divorce the parents?
Yeah, one of them did.
Well,
I'm thinking about Drew Barrymore. She divorced her parents.
Well, you know, Drew Barrymore, she came from a long line of actors in her family, and they had alcohol problems.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't want to just I think, I don't know, uncle or grandfather. Mm-hmm. You know, back actors so back in the 30s and the 40s.
Exactly.
And they was alcoholics. So she got a reason there.
Yeah, but she got
she's doing good. She's doing her thing.
Yeah, she is.
You know, but yeah, you know, in cases like that, you have those cases of those parents just, oh, the kid is acting, bringing in money, and they want control of it, and they feel like they should get control of it. You know, I call them like stage mothers. Those backstage mothers, kind of like mothers that my girl, like I was telling you about earlier, Judy Garland had.
Okay.
You know, the type of mother would say, well, yeah, okay, put her on drugs to help her lose weight. Put her on downers, uppers, you know what I'm saying, to keep her going so she can make it. You know, terrible. Mother like that. That's
the, it's like them pageant mamas. They had their kids just over the pageants and stuff.
Yeah. So, you know, it's that, and it comes to being driven to make money. I mean, I think it starts out as a passion, a love that these kids have, that they see their mentor is doing, and they have their own dreams too, Larry. You gotta admit, these kids do have their dreams. They want to be famous, but I think at the same time, something changes along the way.
Let it be a child sometimes.
Let it be a child. Yeah, I mean, you know, you have to know how to separate the two. Okay, you're an actor today, you're a singer here, but tomorrow or later on after you did whatever you have to do, you are a child. Sure. But first of all, you're a child. Then you're an actor. Yeah. Bring in the money.
Yeah.
But let my child be a child first.
Yeah, because the brain, the human brain has to go through mental steps. You have to still grow as a child first before you can, you know what I'm saying?
It's a development.
Yeah, development, thank you. It's a growth. You're not growing, you know what I'm saying? Because you're skipping steps just to come. You got to get serious. Acting, you know what I'm saying? Back to serious. You never just have times that just enjoy living life.
Yeah,
and they don't know how to live life.
I'm serious. And then they when they start making money, they kind of like the kids have their way.
Exactly.
Because you're making, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Because you're making money, you're buying the family a house. You're buying mother. Look, you can be making money, buying me a house, buying me a car, buying me whatever. You're still not going to be at home talking any kind of trash to me.
Yeah.
Like you're my mother, you my father. I don't care if you're a star.
Man,
I'm going to still treat you like a child because, you know, look, I'm not saying I'm going to snatch you from doing it.
Okay.
But I will snatch your ass from talking trash to me.
Right.
But because, you know, I would do that.
Yeah. So, how are you with me? By the way,
oh my goodness, my week has been like crazy. My week's been crazy. I've been like having like things to do here and there.
Yeah.
And it's been kind of difficult because I haven't had time to do anything that I like to.
Okay.
And I'm just trying to now get everything together and find some fun time, some me time.
Yeah.
What about you, Larry?
Been very hectic, been very busy, and I don't know if y'all, you know, and our followers and friends or whatever, you know, whoever listens to our podcast, we haven't been on for a while, because we've been busy and tied up, you know, but we haven't forgot about all y'all out there. We've just been trying, you know, finally do one, you know what I'm saying, for the night, you know, we got a little free time, so, you know, we're going to be trying to keep it consistent, but sometimes we kind of get thrown off our game somewhat sometimes, but we're there, and we're there, baby.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I mean, are they there?
Yeah, I hope they're
there.
Have
they left us?
Yeah, I hope they're not.
Have they stopped listening?
Yeah.
Have they stopped downloading?
I know.
Where are you guys?
I know. We still here.
I'm still here.
You know, y'all can still go on and listen to some past episodes if y'all have missed any, because we're really doing some great material, I feel. Like, really doing some good, you know, some good subjects, you know. We know what I'm saying. We're trying to do our thing. And I know we just going to continue to do it, you know. But I'm kind of starting to ramble.
You know
why
you kill me when you say that all the time? You know.
Yeah,
you know,
I do that a lot, y'all. I do that a lot.
You know. And I just had to make a face. I'm like, okay. How many times is it gonna be? You know.
But you know what though?
You know what?
This is Larry.
That's Larry.
Yep.
And I'm Dorothy.
And you can just, you know, Parts and Parts Talks, Podcast of Diversity. You know, parts aphrodite@gmail.com. That's the email.
And thanks for listening. Good night.
Bye.